Talking with State Senator Tanya Schutmaker, who has made her decision, and we'll begin our conversation, to run for re-election, but to stay in her Lawton home. And because of redistricting, if you do win, you'll represent half of the Lakeshore, Allegan County. What led your decision to stay where you are home-wise and not sort of follow maybe your political base a little bit with Kalamazoo and instead stay where you are right now and represent a new district?
I just decided I was not going to move for political reasons. My home is my home, and certainly my family is, and I've been coming up here to meet the great residents along the Lakeshore, and it's a wonderful group of people, and I look forward to hopefully representing them.
Now, it's not necessarily a brand new district in the sense that you've already represented, but also, to a certain extent, Rick Jones currently, and then Patty Burkholz before her, sort of helped you out a little bit to get the lay of the land, isn't it?
That's correct. Both Patty and Rick support me, and I have been coming up here for the last year getting to know the people. And prior to being in the 20th Senate seat, I represented the 80th House seat, which included all of Van Buren County and part of Allegan County. So the Holland area is a little new to me, but as far as the rest of Allegan County, I represented a good portion of that in the State House.
How quick will you need to know to get up, caught up to speed with some of the issues here that may be a little bit different than what you've been used to?
Well, certainly dredging is a very important issue, and it's an important issue not only just for the people along the Lakeshore, but for all of State of Michigan, because it's such a vital commerce and tourism issue, and so I've been following that very closely. Senator Jones former Senator Patty Burkholz have been keeping me updated in terms of the very important issues facing the Lakeshore.
All right, let's talk a little politics. I know, unfortunately, you want to talk about issues and you want to talk about what's important to the constituents, but being, you know, we're talking elected office, it's a political animal. We have to talk politics a little bit. Leadership conference, as we speak, just this past weekend up in Mackinac Island. Do you get a sense that perhaps the GOP is still splintered a little bit over some of the things that have gone on in Lansing in the past year or so, or do you sense that maybe some healing started to come into Mackinac Island?
That was the great news about the leadership conferences. I think the buildup was that it was going to be a very fractured party, and I think that there was a lot of hubbub of nothing, and I think we emerged as a party that as one, a party of solutions and a party of helping get Michigan back to work and creating the environment to create those jobs so that our citizens, I've always believed the best social program's a job.
Some Republican lawmakers I've talked to, Tanya, is the fact that they say it's good for the Republican Party to maybe air some of their disagreements so that they can get everybody, get all the opinions in one out in the open instead of, you know, having to try to solve things behind the proverbial a smoke-filled room. Some say the other side of the aisle tends to do that. Do you agree with that?
I certainly do. I believe that the Republican Party is the party of freedom, and it's not a one-size-fits-all party. We realize and we respect and that the expression of free thought, and certainly we won't ever agree with everyone 100% of the time. I don't know for actually my husband and I don't agree upon one every all the time, but certainly I respect other people's opinions. I think having practiced law for 10 years, I've always respected that. I think out of having a vigorous opposition on both sides of the aisle, really you get the best policy out of that middle.
All right. Before the legislature reconvened earlier this month from the summer break, the big discussion was, of course, the Healthy Michigan Initiative. It's now law. And your colleague up in West Olive, Alan Rico, is going to talk before the Ottawa County Patriots tonight. He was a no vote on that, and I believe you were a no vote as well. But is it still a case where you have to go to constituents and try to explain to them, yeah, I don't like it, but I was outvoted, and you have to try to explain maybe some of the good things that you maybe not sold on, but it's the law of the state now.
It is the law of the state, and we live in a democracy, and the yes votes for Medicaid expansion certainly won out of the no votes. And back to respecting other people's different points of view. I've always done that. I am very proud of my no vote. I believe that structurally, in the end, for our state and our nation, that we just can't afford it. It's not that I don't care. I certainly do. There were good arguments on both sides of that issue. It was a very hard and complex decision to arrive to. And certainly, I've always believed that the world's not black or white. It's always a shade of gray, although some people's shade of that gray is different. Obviously, in this situation, it was much different than mine. But we need to move forward because I think if there's one thing that people want, it's people to arrive at decisions and to solve problems. And, you know, as Governor Snyder pointed out, this certainly will solve a big problem and to get more people healthier and insured. I just would go about it differently.
The other issue that stood out over the summer, though the House attacked it a little bit more than maybe the Senate did, was the Common Core curriculum issue. There are those who say we need to have it sort of to have a level playing field with the rest of the nation so that everybody can advance forward. Others say this smacks too much of No Child Left Behind. It smacks of centralizing education and losing local control. It's not going to be an easy solution, I don't think, either. Either way,
the House has had many hearings on it. I think the Senate is just beginning those hearings. Certainly, I've always been one that has valued local control. The argument against this is that you lose some of that local control, but you also, with a more transient population, have a more uniform standard. So it's kind of a balance as to what you want to accomplish, and it's, once again, probably a shade of gray question. There's good reasons on both sides of that issue.
One final thing, and we're going to talk education for a moment. Tanya Shoemaker, of course, is from Lawton. I, of course, those who know me know I broadcast Saucotuck High football and basketball. So we're sort of in the same conference of the Southwestern Athletic Conference, very small schools. Funding has been an issue. Support has been an issue. We're seeing on the athletic side one school already going to eight-man football, another possibly doing so. There's some talk about, you know, how many of these schools can still get going. Covert, the school district, has almost closed up this year. There's some funding questions in education that the legislature has to address, and right now some of the answers they're not liking in some of these school districts.
Well, certainly education, I'm a product of our public schools. My kids go to public schools, and education is a very important of issue. We have tried to address, I think if you look over the last 3 years, a lot of the reforms so as to put more money into the classroom and really put our kids first, I think if you look at that. That being said, you know, people do not have an appetite for increase in taxes, and so you really have to rank your priorities, and certainly education has been a priority of mine. I think it is with most people, whether you ask Republican or Democrats. So it just remains to be seen. I think in the last 3 years, there's only been one cut to K-12, and given the times, one could argue that was probably, although we don't like it, probably appropriate. And we are putting more money, if you take a look at this year's education budget, which starts on October 1st, there is more money going to K-12. But also, this legislature and governor has been trying to make sure that their accountability is there for the parents to make sure that our children get the education that they deserve in terms of standards.
The other thing about education, I do have to ask you this, even though may not be in your bailiwick, higher education, the situation involving Wayne State basically thumbing their nose at the legislature saying, we can't live with these restrictions. They went for the big hike. The state government says, okay, we're going to split up the money and you're going to be penalized $500,000. Do you get a sense that maybe these universities are a little bit too autonomous and maybe not responding to the people, shall we say, by doing things like what Wayne State did?
You know, they are governed by their own board, and they're going to have to make the decisions. If they raise tuition too high, you won't have the people voting with their kids going to school there and their pocketbooks. So they are autonomous, and that's given through the Constitution. I don't think there's any movement out there really to change that constitutional autonomy in our Constitution, although what we have done in the legislature is really make it put metrics to really fund for the outcomes that we want in higher education, such as more money going to the classrooms, less in administration costs, keeping tuition low for your middle class families. And if you take a look at the funding formulas we've set up, we've set up standards and a pot of money that says if you meet these goals and these benchmarks according to your national peers, you will get funding. If you don't, then you better take a look at what you're doing wrong.